Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything tabletop role-playing games.
And today we are talking about methods.
Welcome adventurers to the Dungeon Cast.
It's contest time!
Hey guys, before we get into today's video, I want to announce our merch bundle giveaway, in which we will be giving away a TDC shirt, TDC hoodie, TDC baseball cap, and three TDC stickers to one lucky winner. The way you enter this contest is to go on YouTube and check out this giant jar of dice sitting right in front of me.
It's full of dice from a bad company that is cursed.
And guess the number of dice that are in this giant jar without going over. Whoever gets the closest wins. We also have some tiebreaker rules implemented by you also guessing which color you think makes up the majority of these dice, whether it's blue, green, red, whatever. And then we have another tiebreaker for if it gets to that, which I hope it doesn't, but it might. Guess how many die of that color are in this jar. So in order to enter, you need to go to the comment section on either the social media posts with a picture of this jar or one of the videos that has this jar, which will be all our videos between now and March 1st, and leave a comment with the following guesses. The number of die in the jar, the color of majority, and the number of said color.
For people just listening to this, the jar is about 10 inches tall. I'm just eyeballing this. Very rough.
10 inches. He's making up numbers.
No, it's not. Well, yes, they are, but also they're mostly accurate. It's between it's in the 10 inch tall range. Mm-hmm. It does have a bottleneck that starts around the 7-inch mark. And it's got rounded edges, but it's a four-sided bottle that at its base that has sides that roughly are about 5-6 inches.
You can go to this video the social media post, take a look at the picture and leave a comment.
I would definitely do that. It is filled to the brim. I have enough dice in there where I can barely close it. It's got a metal latch.
Indeed.
Demogorgon's on top of it right now. Shout out to Demogorgon. Let's get to the episode.
Good luck to all of you.
Good luck.
Good luck. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm swell. I'm feeling the chaos of the elements coalescing within.
Good.
Splitting themselves and becoming cute little ghosts.
I don't know if Mephits are cute.
No, they're ugly.
They're quite hideous. Yeah, I would say.
I mean, the air one, the steam one.
Oh, you're I know they are ghost-like. Yeah,
this is one of the first episodes of the show we've done where I actually know pretty much what's going on here.
That's true. These were some of the first monsters I pitted you guys against in a lot of ways. Yeah, yeah. Well, devils have imps, demons have quasits, and elementals have mephits. It's the year of the elemental all.
That's right.
That means a year of focusing on all which is made of earth, wind, fire, water, and everything in between. An elemental has a couple of different meanings. Not only can it refer to the base energies and matter upon which all the cosmos of D&D is built upon, but it can also refer to the very basics of what we as a podcast are built on.
Wow. That's powerful.
So not only is it the year of the elemental on the Dungeon Cast, but it's also the year of back to the basics on the show. Today, that means some good old-fashioned monsters out of the Monster Manual lore, but it also means we're going to be getting back up into that planar lore, going to hit up all the Outer Planes this year. Going to maybe revisit some character creation and class stuff. Going to get back to the basics. And with that being said, let's get into it.
I can't wait. I can't wait to get into that PL-ANR. That PL-ANR. Extra PL-ANR. Let's get in that ANR.
Well, we're about to get extra planar.
That's so, right, yeah. Planar.
Mephits are extra planar elemental creatures, similar to imps, like I said before, roughly humanoid in form and somewhat small, approximately 4 feet.
That's 1.2 meters.
In height. Mephits can be mistaken for imps with their bat-shaped wings, clawed hands and feet, and hunched posture, but differ in some obvious ways from their devilish counterparts. Their faces have exaggerated features, including overlarge hooked noses, prominent pointed ears, wide eyes, and cartoonishly protruding chins. Mm. Their skin continually oozes with the stuff of their home plane. Fire mephits burn, magma mephits drip lava, and mud mephits drip mud, and so on.
They would make some sick tattoos, like all, like sort of, you know how Queen did one of their album covers with like all their faces like silhouetted?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That would be cool for all the mephits.
That would be super cool for all the mephits.
Which one would be your Freddie Mercury mephit? Like the fire one, you think?
I think the fire one's a strong one. Freddie Mercury.
The air mephit?
Maybe the air mephit. I don't know. That's a tough one. I have to think about it.
Would you put a mustache on your center
yes,
mephit?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Are you kidding me? Yes. The exact disposition of mephits is dependent on their type, of which there are anywhere between 6 to 16, depending on your setting. The 5e Monster Manual presents us with 6 basic types: steam, dust, smoke, ice, magma, and mud. Each mephit is an elemental spirit that represents a combination of 2 of the elemental planes combined. For example, the magma mephit is a combination of earth and fire, while the ice mephit is a combination of water and air. The other mephits outlined in other editions and settings include lightning, radiance, mineral, ash, salt, mist, and the 4 basic elements of fire, water, air, and earth.
These are super cool.
Mm-hmm.
I heard if you combine the earth, wind, and fire ones, that they make a new type of mephit that remembers the 21st night of September. Is that a good joke?
Yes, I'm going to go with yes, only because I like Earth, Wind, and Fire a lot. So.
Yeah, I was like, how do I work this in?
Mephits are capricious, imp-like creatures in more than just their appearance. Universally reviled as tricksters and rarely in any sort of endearing way, mephits take great pleasure in being pests, displaying tendencies towards vulgar behavior.
Mm-hmm.
It's true that me and Brian might just be 2 mephits in disguise. They are by no means inherently evil, though. They're just kind of jerks when left to their own devices.
Just like us.
But when summoned and bound into servitude, mephits are highly impressionable, always eager to please their masters and including shifting their alignment to better do so. That being said, their habit of making mischief does make them more inclined to serve evildoers. And when a mephit does so, it tends to become sadistic, vindictive, and malicious under such beings.
Yeah, so they're like the Sour Patch Kids of the D&Dverse. They're
sure,
little bastards,
yeah, absolutely.
For at least a while.
They are.
Until you start doing what they want.
So you'll see this more and more as we get further and further into the Year of the Elemental. But when we talk about demons and devils, one of the things we talk about is like their incredibly powerful personality.
Mm.
Like almost always their charisma is off the scale. They're
yeah.
very much what they are.
They know what they strongly. Want out of the multiverse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Elementals are very much the opposite. They're usually very strong, dexterous, and constituted, but their personality, or I should say their force of personality, is really weak-willed.
Like, yeah,
they very much represent the matter that which can be shaped by the will of others.
Yeah, they're flippant. They take orders.
Yeah, they're flippant. They take orders. They can be changed. They're very changeable and they're very impressionable. And mephits very much do personify that.
Malleable mephits.
Malleable mephits was probably something we said in the first 5 years of the show.
I know we did that.
Yeah.
Damn, did I just get a trigger in my brain go off that made me say that? I bet it did.
But so
I'm kind of glad we don't do that anymore.
Me too.
It was fun.
It was fun while it lasted.
It's sort of weird. Some of them.
It was fun until it stop being fun.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh my god,
we gotta do it again. When does it end?
Why don't we just come up with 1,000 of these? Like we kind of did.
And unfortunately, it is these types of mephits we have the most information on. As such, It is quite common that Mephits are renowned for their love of tormenting helpless creatures and bragging about their latest evil accomplishments. They give themselves pompous and possibly long names such as Garben or Firthal, Sprite Slayer, greatest of all steam Mephits, favorite of the lower planes.
Okay, so are the small ones are doing this?
No, the evil Mephits are doing this. Yeah, which most Mephits that are written about are evil because they serve the evil entities.
Yeah, they're
so we don't actually have a lot of information on wild Mephits that live in nature.
Okay.
It's mostly evil Mephits that serve evil beings.
Yeah, they're probably like fey spirits or, you know, like whimsical little, like, I'm a poof of air.
Yeah.
As I ruffle these tree leaves.
They tend to just like swarm in herds around natural phenomenon that attracts them.
Okay.
Yeah. So a little bit kind of what you're saying. But they're not very fey-like because, yeah, they're more primal.
Yeah, I meant not fey-like in nature, or not fey-like in personality, fey-like in their, you know, like gathering pixies dancing around a fire or some shit like that.
Yeah,
Look at this herd of mud buffaloes.
Muffaloes.
Muffaloes, if you will.
Mephits assume a groveling, craven, yes master stance to their bosses, an air of arrogant superiority toward victims and each other. Mephits of the same type usually maintain a polite camaraderie. Different types often settle disputes with a friendly game of tug a demi-human.
Whoa, okay.
Mephits under control of an evil being spend their time delivering messages, picking up packages on the lower planes, retrieving particular persons, delivering special magic items, or just spreading general mayhem. Insufferable on missions, they fancy themselves important emissaries.
How interesting. I've always run them as more like aloof and sort of apathetic, the way like the wind is to a person or like a fire would be to a forest.
I think that's very accurate for natural Mephits out there in the wild. Again, these are the evil ones. These are evil Mephits serving evil entities.
Okay.
And they've been turned evil by the evil they've been exposed to.
Yeah, don't like a lot of like Mephits serve like a wizard, like an evil wizard?
It's a common trope for sure. Okay. I mean, Mephits are very useful. I'd definitely run Mephits if I was a wizard. In the wild, Mephits gather in large numbers on the elemental planes and in the elemental chaos. They also find their way to the material plane where they prefer to dwell in places where their base elements are abundant. For example, a magma Mephit is composed of earth and fire and it favors volcanic layers, while an ice Mephit, which is composed of air and water, favors frigid locales. Mephits are immortal, ageless creatures that do not require food, drink, or sleep.
Can you imagine just getting stabbed in like a snowstorm? A fucking Mephit flies away like, fuck you.
God, what a nightmare.
I'm the Ice King.
Yeah. I would say the Ice King's penguins are the equivalent of his Mephit.
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah, fucking evil penguins. Is only one of them super evil?
Only one of them super evil. Okay. Yeah, they're all penguins. And also the one that's super evil is like an alien overlord from a different planet.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Adventure Time, sorry.
Jeez.
It's not entirely clear whether Mephits are a naturally occurring creature or not. Evil powers on the lower planes can create Mephits through spell and ritual, using the substance of an elemental plane to create a servant, usually as a stopgap or substitute for less loyal underlings. Mephits do not betray their creators, but do seem to irritate them, and so they lead brief, troublesome lives.
Okay.
Poor guys. Jesus. It is said that presenting one's enemy with a Mephit connotates a message. Its nature indicated by the Mephit's type. The gift of a fire Mephit indicates displeasure at the enemy's action. An ice Mephit means the enemy is forbidden to enter one's home. A radiant Mephit is a truce offering. The recipient destroys, employs, or frees the Mephit as desired.
Do what you want with it, but I sent you this box of C's Mephits. There's a mystery of what their intentions are within each of them. Careful you don't bite into the coconut one accidentally.
Oh, God.
This sucks. That's a weird thing to do. You send a monster in a box to someone's house?
This is what demon lords do to each other.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Or like arch wizards and liches and stuff, yeah.
God damn it, there's mud Mephits all over my house again.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of like putting a bag of dog poop and lighting a fire on the doorstep. That's what this is.
That's the mud Mephit plus fire Mephit combo.
Exactly.
You open it up and
God damn it.
Yeah, you open up the crate, much like we did our Spotify crate today, and then like a secret panel gets released that allows the fire and mud Mephit to come together and make the shit Bernie smell.
spoilers for Baldur's Gate 3. There's a lot of methods in Baldur's Gate 3, including a unique one I'd never seen anywhere before, the grease method.
Oh, God. Yeah. They're like Pokemon.
Yeah, they're like Pokemon. All right.
Why is that a spoiler?
I don't know, because you know, so you don't meet the grease methods till Act 3.
Oh, I get that's just like a thing. Like, is it story based? Why there's
no
methods?
It's not story based. You just run into grease methods in the sewer.
I mean, extremely light spoilers for Baldur's Gate. There's D&D shit in it.
I mean, that's fair. I just felt like I needed to be careful. You know, a lot of people have a lot of feelings about the game.
That's true. Somebody right now is probably like, fuck, I should have skipped the spoilers.
There's game
grease
ruined.
Grease method. Ah! I didn't even know about methods till this episode. Their skull burns away like in fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Or Terminator.
Yeah.
Stupid. All right, back to methods. And with that, I think we could dive into specific mephit types, starting with the dust mephit. Composed of earth and air, dust mephits dwell on the inner planes of earth and air, as well as the quasi-elemental plane of dust. On the material plane, dust mephits are drawn to catacombs and find death morbidly fascinating. Dust mephits are a sorrowful lot. They pose as tragic yet fashionable victims of a gloomy fate, heroically holding out against utter its insanity. They favor lines like, a dust mephit I am, lest dust I become. Gaunt, even by mephit standards, dust mephits have dusky brown skin, eyes, and wings. Unlike other mephits, they prefer to wear clothing, always black, altered so as not to interfere with their flight. In the complex social code of some lower planar spellcasters, the gift of a dust mephit symbolizes a subtle threat, with the connotation that the giver has recognized some plot of the recipient against them.
Okay. I know what you're up to.
What am I up to?
No, like, is that the gift?
Oh, basically, yeah. It's like, I know what you're up to.
Okay, we got a dust mephit, or mephit, for those of you in the know. Small, elemental, neutral, evil. The armor class is 12. Once again, not natural. They're all natural.
Does a rock have not natural armor? Does a tree have natural armor?
It says it has an armor class and that it's 12, and it's not wearing armor.
I mean, to be fair, it's incorporeal because it's dust.
Yeah.
I wonder if...
Like, but once again, it says it has an armor class here, which implies that there is armor about. To be fair,
they wear clothes.
So it's not like a dust layer of armor. I am dust and it is 12 to hit me.
Yes.
Is what this means.
Basically.
I think I tried to do this on another episode, like the Imix episode.
Oh.
Where I was like, he's not wearing armor.
I know why it's not natural armor. I think because it's basically, it's
magic.
Base 10 plus their dex mod, which is just their agility. So that's not armor.
Yeah, so dex is plus 2 for this, so 12. Yeah, okay. HP is 17. That's 5d6. We have speeds. 30 feet of walking.
9.1 meters.
And that's 30 feet of flying as well.
9.1 meters.
Very good. Minus 3 strength. Ouch.
Yeah, they made of dust.
Weak-ass, dusty-ass
mephit.
They're
very gaunt.
Fucking dusty, crusty-ass mephit. This is the longest nose ever.
Yeah.
It's got a joint in it. Not like a weed joint, like a knee joint.
Yeah.
Plus 2 dex, plus 0 con, minus 1 intelligence, plus 0 wisdom, and plus 0 cha.
Yep.
Wow. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's a low level mob.
True. Skills, perception plus 2, stealth plus 4. Not bad. I'm just a cloud of dust. Don't look
Don't
at me.
Don't mind me.
It's vulnerable to fire.
Odd.
Well, like dust,
well, actually,
like that
dust
is combustible.
Is very combustible. Yeah. Yeah.
Do they just explode?
Yeah. You got to be careful in like flower factories and stuff because that shit can blow.
It's true. There's another drug reference somewhere in there. I don't know. Damage immunity is poison.
Oh no, my cocaine.
Sorry. There it is. It's exploding. Condition.
It's actually a dust mephit.
No. White dust.
Stupid.
So the dust mephit or a snow mephit? It's immune to poison. It has dark vision of 60 feet.
Oh, shit. how dare you. 18.2 meters.
It's got a perception of 12. It's a passive perception of 12. Its languages are Aurin and Terran.
So the air language and the earth language.
Yep. It makes sense for these not to speak full primordial.
Yeah, I guess so.
Challenge rating is half or 100 experience points. Proficiency bonus plus 2. It can do a death burst.
When the I method, think they all can.
Yeah. This is the cool thing about Mephits is when a Mephit dies, it explodes and a burst of this one is deuced. Each creature within 5 feet of it.
1.5 meters.
Must then succeed on a DC 10 constitution saving throw or be blinded for 1 minute. A blinded creature can repeat the saving throw on each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. So blinded is cool.
Eyes.
Well, like not,
I got dust in my eyes.
Not to be blinded, but like it's a cool thing to implement into a fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'll change things.
Yeah.
Innate spellcasting once a day. The Mephit can innately cast sleep, requiring no material components. Its innate spellcasting ability is charisma. Sleep is only as strong as the person casting it. It's a very strategic spell.
It is.
Situational and good at the end of a fight where you can knock out a bunch of people with low HP.
Honestly, facing like three of these guys at like level one or two is scary as shit because they could probably put the party to sleep.
Yeah. Treat it like a Pokemon battle. Get that motherfucker in the red and then sleep him.
Mm-hmm.
Actions, claws, weapon, melee weapon attack plus 4 to hit with a reach of 5 feet.
Oh, shit.
1.9 meters.
1.5 meters.
1.5 meters?
Yeah.
Okay. One creature is going to hit for 1d4 plus 2 slashing damage. I have one more footage for you coming up here, Will. Blinding Breath on a recharge of 6, which this is cool for a low-level monster to have. Mm-hmm. The Mephit, or the Mephit, exhales a 15-foot...
That is not converting. 4.5 meters.
Cone of Blinding Dust. Each creature in that area must succeed on a DC 10 dexterity saving throw or be blinded for 1 minute. A creature can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Mephit. I like these as mobs. These are one of the cooler mobs because they blow up.
Yeah, they blow up. They can blind people and they can put them to sleep.
Yeah, they do a lot. They've got a cone, a 15-foot cone to like when you've got 6 of these things fighting a party and they're all fucking coning you.
Yeah.
It's a low DC for the dex save, but like you can have 6 of them coning you.
Yeah.
So
one of how many gonna flips, roll one.
How many flips and cartwheels can you do? Let's find
Let's
out.
Let's find out. All right, moving on. Next up we have ice Mephits. Comprising frigid air and water, ice Mephits are aloof and cold, surpassing all other Mephits in pitiless cruelty. Ice Mephits are angular with translucent ice blue skin. They live on the inner planes of water, air, and the para-elemental plane of ice, the Frostfell, as well as the colder lower planes, and thus never mix with the fire, magma, smoke, or steam Mephits. Ice Mephits act aloof and cruel, surpassing other Mephits in torture and wanton destruction. So these guys are mean. They're cold as ice.
Is wanton destruction like a big, like a crab rangoon falling onto someone's house?
I mean, I think that would qualify.
I got an ice Mephit stat. We'll go through this a little quicker because they're so similar.
Yeah.
This one also has a joint in its nose. Ice, does that mean it can like do a hooky? You know what I mean?
I mean, the description is that they have hooked noses.
Yeah. Can it like move the joint hook though and like snaggle you, you know, like give you a little scratch?
Maybe.
Ice Mephit is small, elemental, neutral, evil, AC 11. HP is 21 or 66. Speed is 30 feet.
9.1 meters.
Or flying 30 feet. It can run and fly. Do they run? I always picture all of these hovering.
Well, like, they don't actually hover because that's like a thing. Like,
yes, I know. Hover. Yeah.
But yeah, they're depicted mostly flying. When you fight them in Baldur's Gate 3, they never walk.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of how I always pictured them because I don't know. This one does have like.
Why walk when you can fly?
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you got to get down there, though.
I guess so. Yeah,
just sometimes. Yeah. Even birds, they got to go eat that bug or whatever, mm-hmm. pull it out of the dirt.
Yeah.
Strength minus 2, dex minus 1, con plus 0, intelligence minus 1, wisdom plus 0, and cha plus 1. Perception plus 2, stealth plus 3 for skills, damage vulnerability to bludgeoning and fire. They are brittle boys.
Mm-hmm.
They are immune to cold and poison. I like that. Mm-hmm. Condition immunities, poisoned. Mm-hmm. Dark vision of 60 feet.
18.2 meters.
Passive perception is 12. They speak Aquan and Auron. Challenge rating is half or 100 experience, and proficiency bonus is plus 2. This one also has a death burst. When this Mephit dies, it explodes in a burst of jagged ice. Each creature within 5 feet of it must make a DC 10 dexterity saving throw, taking 4 1d8 slashing damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. I like explosions of ice. They are like animated and imagined the same way across all cultures, I feel like.
I guess so, yeah. That
has a burst point, and then that shit climbs in the icy, spiky spires, mm-hmm. And freeze, you know, you get locked in there, and mm-hmm. you're like in mid, like, oh.
I like it.
False appearance. While the Mephit remains motionless, it is indistinguishable from an ordinary shard of ice. That's scary.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys remember, but I had you guys fight the ice Mephits that were, like, posing as gargoyles.
Yeah,
You had to, like, perceive them. That was way back in the first of all Raiders.
Innate spellcasting once a day, the Mephit can innately cast Fog Cloud, requiring no material components. Its innate spellcasting ability is Charisma. It uses its force of will to fart this ice cloud out, this fog cloud. Actions, claws, melee weapon attack +3 to hit, reach of 5 feet.
1.5 meters.
Very good. One creature is, it's going to hit for 3 or 1d4 +1 slashing damage, +2 1d4 cold damage. Frost Breath recharges on a 6. The Mephit exhales a 15-foot...
I'm trying to do it off the dome.
I know. It's so good. Okay. It's 1.5 for 5, right?
Yeah. And it's 3, 4, 10. So it would be 4.5 meters.
Yeah. Sounds about right. Each creature in the area must succeed on a DC 10 dexterity saving throw, taking 5 or 2d4 cold damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. And that's it for the Ice Mephit.
Nice.
Farts ice clouds.
Next up, we have the Magma Mephit. Composed of earth and fire, magma mephits glow a dull red color as they perspire beads of molten lava. They are slow to comprehend the meaning of others' words and actions. They dwell in the inner planes of earth and fire, as well as the para-elemental plane of magma, also known as the fountains of creation. Some are known to dwell on the lower planes of the nine hells as well. Magma mephits, or lava mephits, are the least intelligent of all mephits, and hence the brunt of the fire mephit jokes. They are sensitive to these insults and anger easily when offended, but otherwise they are passive and less temperamental than other mephits. They generate extreme heat that can be felt up to 30 feet away, which would be 9 meters as well.
How was your day at school, Ignacio?
It was fine, Mom. Guys made fun of me again for being stupid.
Well, you are stupid.
Shut up, Mom. I know.
All right, tell me about the Magma Mephit stat block.
They're small elementals of neutral evil. Their armor class is 11, HP is 22, or 5d6 +5. They have a speed of 30 feet, fly of 30 feet.
That would be 9 meters.
Mm-hmm. Strength -1, dex +1, con +1, intelligence -2, wisdom +0, charisma +0. They have skills of stealth +3, damage vulnerability to cold, and damage immunities to fire and poison. Condition immunities, poisoned senses, dark vision of 60 feet.
That's 18 meters.
Passive perception of 10.
It's just
10. ten is super good for metric people. We're good. Yeah.
It's true.
Languages, Ignan and Terran. Challenge rating is half or 100 experience points with a proficiency bonus of +2. These are all copy-pasty of each other, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think...
I think that's fine. Yeah. As long as they have particular abilities or actions that are different. That's the main thing.
Death Burst. When the Mephit dies, it explodes in a burst of lava. Each creature within 5 feet of it...
Oh, sorry. 1.5 meters.
Must make a DC... 11 dexterity saving throw, taking 7 or 2d6 fire damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. False appearance. While the Mephit remains motionless, it is indistinguishable from an ordinary mound of magma, which, like, you know...
That's just an ordinary mound of magma. I don't know what you're talking about, Bob.
We're at the salmon farm. We're at the lake right now, and that shouldn't be there. Just pour a cup of water on it and kill it, you know?
There you go.
Throw
there
a fish on it, see what happens. Innate spell casting once per day. The Mephit can innately cast heat metal. Wow. Spell save DC 10. Thank God. Requiring no material components. Its innate spell casting ability is charisma. Actions, claws, melee weapon attack with +3 to hit, reach of 5 feet.
1.5 meters.
One creature. A hit is 3 1d4 +1 slashing damage +2 1d4 fire damage. I love that it does the combo damage. It's fun. Fire Breath recharges on a 6. The Mephit exhales a 15-foot cone of fire.
Oh God, I lost it again. 4.5 meters.
Each creature in that area must make a DC 11 dexterity saving throw, taking 7 2d6 fire damage on a failed save or half as much damage on a successful one. And there you have it.
Nice. Well, with that, before we get into the last three Mephits, I think it's time to take a short rest.
Let's do it. Let's do a shorty.
It's the grand adventures of Ilion and Bean.
Fuck. I can't believe that it's over already.
Yeah, it seems we're the only two survivors.
That's so weird.
They're all dead.
How do they all...
I mean, we did kill a bunch of guys.
We killed a lot of dudes.
We killed a lot of dudes. I have like 8 heads on the spear.
Oh, whoa! Oh my God!
Who knew? I'm proficient in spears.
You didn't even want the spear. I told you, man. These things are great.
You know, I doubted you, but I think I'm a spear guy now.
I think, wow, how did you, wow. See, I just kept poking people right in their hearts. Just behind.
I'll be honest, I blacked out the whole thing. It was a blur.
Oh, that's good, because you didn't see my butt. I bewildered a lot of them. They were just, a lot of the guys, I'm not going to be honest, a lot of the guys you killed were just standing there staring at my ass. But I'm like, that's what we needed.
Yes.
We had a system.
Yeah, exactly. We're teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, as they say.
I got to say, I am so tired. Ever since I painted that thing, I don't know, I'm just like unusually tired.
You may be suffering from, dare I say it, a level of exhaustion, Ben.
Me? No.
I mean, it happens to us all. None of us are perfect.
You know, when was the last time we even went to sleep?
It's been before I flipped a mountain. Wait, I didn't flip that mountain. That mountain flipped on us.
Yeah, no, those weird dudes did that. All those goats and those tandem bikes are just sitting down in the basin. Oh my God.
Well, now we're here on a Cuban Acheron.
Yeah, what were they even fighting about?
Yes, what were they fighting about?
I think I did hear somebody say that there was some gem of power.
Gem of power, you say?
Yeah, they were like, oh, get the gem of power! And I was like, oh, there's just too many dudes. I don't even know. I was just kind of killing indiscriminately, honestly, because I'm not really aligned here like that.
Shame. Well, we should look for this gem of power. Let's take a look around.
Oh, dear, good look around.
We can use a magic artifact of some sort.
Yeah, let's take a look around. Alien! Idiot!
What are you? What is it, man?
Come over here.
I'm coming. Hurt.
I can't believe it.
What?
Look.
Oh! We've done it, man! A third shot of substantial supporters.
It's so beautiful.
Hold it. Four.
I gotta hang on. This dude, I can't get his hands off of it. Is
stop!
Yeah. Oh, whoa!
Stop!
It's not coming off. Okay, hang on. Maybe I can pry the fingers, this cold, dead fingers off of the shard now. Like, oh man. This is a really tight grip. Oh, we got it!
Yes! Woo! All right!
Oh, they're all spinning, all three of them.
They're becoming more powerful, man. Step closer to our dream.
Mine's lifting off my hand. Oh, it's floating.
Yes.
Oh, they're
Let
all floating
the
together.
Power flow through you.
Oh my God, they're all merging together. Ilion, what's going on? What are they doing? They're rotating and blasting a beam into the ether or something.
I believe they're leading us towards the next shard.
And then, no, it's opening a tear in the fabric of reality.
Yes. A tear in space.
It's tear shaped.
It is actually tear shaped. We should go in there, Ben.
It looks nice.
Let's get out of this.
There's a couch in there.
Oh, what luxury.
I feel safe around the shards.
It's like a pocket dimension of comfort.
Yeah.
The shards want us to wield them.
A tear in space.
And they know that you are suffering from a level of exhaustion. So let's fix that.
We can go to bed.
We can go to bed.
Right here.
Right here. Wherever we want. Whenever we want.
Maybe we're...
For now we have three shards of substantial support.
They're supporting substantially right now, I would say, making a tear in space for us. Tear-shaped tear in space. A tear in space, if you will. Let's go in.
Indeed. Oh, look. Look, Ben.
It's a lot of white.
There's a green lounge chair.
That's nice. Oh, that looks comfortable.
It is comfortable.
Look, a bed. Ilion.
What?
An easel filled with paints.
Oh.
Right here.
How fortuitous.
Look, a table full of beakers and Bunsen burners and stuff. Maybe for your wizard stuff?
Yeah, I mess with an occasional Bunsen burner.
A rack of books.
Oh, yes, reading materials for my lounging.
Look, it's a strange dais of sorts. It looks like it's a perfect size for the Orb of Aether's net.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
This is getting strangely and uncomfortably convenient.
It's my favorite drink. Beer.
This may be a trap, Ben.
No. We're being supported right now.
That's true.
I would say substantially.
This is what it means to benefact from benefactors.
Threefold. Three more folds than we're used to.
Indeed. Why don't I lounge in this chair and regale you with a tale from my youth?
What's up with... Before you do that, what's up with this big P on the wall?
Obviously, that's for patrons.
P for patrons. Got it. Yeah, P for patrons.
Patrons, yes.
You're gonna tell me about your past?
Indeed, I am.
I'm sorry about that one time I asked about who named you.
It's okay.
Okay, let's...
I'm feeling like sharing today.
Excellent. Let me get all rested up. Look, slippies.
Oh.
There's a set for me and a set for you.
Indeed. Oh, these ones seem to be themed after the elemental creatures called Mephits.
Yeah. Oh.
How interesting.
This one's all muddy. Gross.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're fucking back.
Indeed we are.
We're feeling the chouse now, aren't
we? Yes, we're all up in the chouse.
We're all up in this chouse. Anyway, there's a new old tier on Patreon. We're reformatting an old tier that didn't get much love to a new one that's Ilian and Beeren centric. I hope the skit we just did embodies that entirely. But in case it doesn't, in case it's not clear, there is now a tier of Ilian and Beeren centric content. We'll try to put as much Ilian and Beeren stuff in there as we can jam into it. Our next recording session is going to have a conversation between Ilian and Beeren in the tier in space. I don't know exactly what that's going to be. Is it going to be the Demon Lords? What do Demon Lords do for fun?
I mean, we'll find out when we get there.
We can also do a patron nominated thing like we do with our Patreon.
What do you want to hear Ilian and Beeren talk about?
Yeah, what do you guys want to hear? Try to keep it in you, I guess. I don't know. They have the orb of Aether's net. They can peer into the internet.
I would love to hear Ilian badly explain real Earth stuff to Beeren.
Maybe that's what this... Let us know what you guys want to hear. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
You know, Hello from the Magic Tavern, style it up a little bit. Yeah. Which is like a big inspo for what we're doing with Ilian. So shout out to those improv geniuses.
Indeed.
Chunt the Badger. Arnie Kneecamp.
Arnie Kneecamp.
What kind of name is that? Arnie Kneecamp. Stupid.
And Usador, who I feel like you dropped some inspiration from Usador.
Some? Let's move on.
Check us out and support Ilian and Beeren on patreon.com/thedungeoncast. We also have an ongoing YouTube social media contest going on that involves counting the number of dice in a jar. Which
that are not at the front.
They're not at the front, but Will said that we have to do a special video to go at the front and a special audio clip to go at the front of this one.
That's very
to
true.
Promote it because we forgot
again.
To do it again.
Three times in a row.
You know, that's what happens when we just like convolutedly come up with a contest like mid recording. So, you know, there we are. We are who we are. And now we can get back to
methods.
Stuff. Yeah, mefits.
All right. Well, next up is the Mud Mephit. Mud Mephits are slow, unctuous creatures of earth and water. They dwell on the inner planes of earth, water, and the para-elemental plane of ooze, also known as the Swamp of Oblivion. They drone their complaints to all who will listen and beg incessantly for attention and for treasure. Strangely enough, I couldn't find any reference to Mud Mephit's pre-5th edition. It seems the Mud Mephit has been introduced to replace the Ooze Mephit. And though similar, they do seem to be distinctly different from each other. That being said, the Mud Mephit has two sentences dedicated to it in totality.
Okay.
So I don't have much to add.
They're made of mud. This one is mud. Mud Mephit, small, elemental, neutral, evil, armor class 11, HP is 2766 plus 6. It has a walking speed of 20 feet.
Whoa, it's slow because it's muddy. And that's 6 meters.
A flying speed of 20 feet and a swimming speed of 20 feet.
6 meters.
Strength minus 1, dex plus 1, con plus 1, intelligence minus 1, wisdom plus 0, charisma minus 2, skills, stealth plus 3, damage immunities, poison, condition immunities, poison, dark vision of 60 feet.
Oh, shit. I'm just like, yep, that's standard.
Yeah,
18 meters.
18 meters. Insert joke about how everything has dark vision here. It's passive perception 10, language Aquan and Terran, challenge rating a quarter. On this one, 50 XP. So it's noticeably and statistically, like, just less powerful all the way around.
Yeah.
Proficiency bonus plus 2. So the Mud Mephit is the worst one.
So far.
A Mud Mephit is what happens when you think you have to fart. Death Burst. When the Mephit dies, it explodes in a burst of sticky mud.
No!
Yep. Yeah. The Denim Destroyer is what they should call this one. Each medium or small, unless you wear leggings, you know what I mean. Each medium or smaller creature within 5 feet of it must succeed on a DC 11 dexterity saving throw or be restrained until the end of the creature's next turn. You know, Who doesn't get restrained when they shit their pants? Absolute monsters.
I hate this. Let's keep going.
False appearance while the Mephit remains motionless is indistinguishable from a pile of, you know what, mud. A mound of mud. Actions, fists.
That's just a mound of mud, Bob. What are you talking about?
Doesn't smell like mud, Jim. Tell you that much. Actions, fists. Melee weapon attack, +3 to hit.
It doesn't even have claws, this fist.
Nope, just has muddy fists. Gross. Oh, no, gross. Reach of 5 feet.
1.5 meters.
One creature is going to get hit for 4. 1d6 plus 1 bludgeoning damage. Mud breath, a recharge of 6. Oh, man. The Mephit belches viscid mud on... Is that viscid?
Viscous.
Yeah. Well, it's V-I-S-C-I-D.
I guess viscid indeed.
Viscid mud. Onto one creature within 5 feet of it.
It's 1.5 meters.
If the target is medium or smaller, it must succeed on a DC 11 dexterity saving throw or be restrained for 1 minute. A creature can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success.
Oh, viscid means glutinous and sticky. So it is different from viscous.
I have a new way to describe my bowel movements.
Was that it for the Mud Mephit?
That was it. It looks like you just want to like lock people down with this one. It's just going to restrain all over the place.
Yeah, they're just really annoying.
Yeah, they're not doing a lot of damage.
Yeah, they're
you mostly want to blow them up to slow people down.
Yeah, just put a bunch of Mud Mephits around an Earth Elemental. They'll lock them down. The Earth Elemental will fuck them up.
You're going to round a corner and there's going to be like you're in a box canyon or something. There's like a cliff. And there's a Earth Elemental up there, and he's going to see you guys and be like, my tummy hurts. He's going to turn around and blast a bunch of Mud Mephits on you.
God damn it, Brian. We're moving on.
Okay.
Smoke Mephits.
Woo.
Smoke Mephits are crude, lazy creatures of air and fire that billow smoke constantly. They rarely speak the truth and love to mock and mislead others. Mm. They dwell on the inner planes of air and smoke, as well as the para-elemental plane of smoke, also known as the Great Conflagration.
The great Snoop Dogg's house. The great Seth Rogen city.
Hey, is that Snoop Dogg? What are you doing here?
Snoop?
Is that you?
I didn't know you were smoke. I thought you just did a lot.
Snoop Dogg's a smoke mephit in disguise.
He's there with Martha Stewart. She's like, I'm here too. And like, ah, shit, Martha. Jail changed you, baby.
Smoke mephits spend most of their time sitting around invisible, smoking pipe weed.
Really? Actually? Wow.
Telling bad jokes about their creators and generally shirking their responsibilities.
You mean I get to do actual weed jokes because weed showed up in the show? That's crazy. This is wild.
It only took 8 years. We got
there. I know. What the fuck?
Lower planar beings traditionally dispatch a smoke mephit as a gift to enemies, a gesture of insolence and contempt that amounts to a declaration of a vendetta.
Yeah. Smoke mephit is like fucking... So let's go around. Let's go sit in a circle, buddy. I brought that good kush. We got us. Was that it?
Yeah, that was it.
We got a smoke mephit, a small elemental of neutral evil. They changed that law. Armor class is 12. HP is 22 or 5d6 plus 5. Speed is 30 feet. Flying 30 feet.
Oh, shit. I have a job here, apparently. 9 meters, 9 meters.
Yeah. Strength, -2. Dexterity, -2. Constitution, +1. Hey. Intelligence, +0. Wisdom, +0. Charisma, +0. Let's see. Perception, +2. Skill, stealth, +4 for skills. Damage immunities to fire and poison. Condition immunities to poison. Dark vision, 60 feet.
That's 18 meters.
Passive perception is 12. It speaks Auron and Ignan. And challenge rating a quarter, 50, another weak boy. Proficiency bonus +2. Death burst, when the mephit dies, it leaves behind a cloud of smoke that fills a 5-foot radius sphere centered on its space. The sphere is heavily obscured. Wind disperses the cloud, which otherwise lasts for 1 minute. And don't breathe that stuff in, unless, you know,
don't
you
do
want
it.
Unless you want to. And then do, definitely do.
Is that smoke mephit green? Is that it for smoke mephits?
Is that Jimi Hendrix? This purple haze? Innate spellcasting once a day. The Mephit can innately cast Dancing Lights, requiring no material.
That is Jimi Hendrix.
Requiring no material components. Its innate spellcasting ability is Charisma. It's like, hey man, you've been acting funny since I got here. Let me put on a little show for you. Claws, melee weapon attack, +4 to hit with a reach of 5 feet.
1.5 meters.
One creature is going to hit for 4 or 1d4 slashing damage, or 1d4 plus 2 slashing damage. Cinder Breath, recharge of 6. The Mephit exhales a 15-foot cone.
4.5 meters.
Of smoldering ash. Each creature in that area must succeed on a DC 10 dexterity saving throw or be blinded until the end of the Mephit's next turn. Okay, he just throws the fucking ashtray at you.
It's kind of like the Dust Mephit.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Dust Mephit. So this one smokes weed.
Apparently.
Huh.
We ready to move on?
Yep.
Next up, we have the Steam Mephit.
Okay.
Composed of fire and water, Steam Mephits leave trails of hot water wherever they go, and they hiss with tendrils of steam. Bossy and hypersensitive, they are the self-appointed overlords of all Mephits. They dwell in the inner planes of water and fire, as well as the quasi-elemental plane of steam, of which they consider themselves to be the lords of. Mist Mephits, who dwell on the plane of steam as well, refuse to obey their higher temperature cousins, and this disobedience has led to a millennia-long rivalry between the types. In addition to the hissing steam that escapes from their pores, Steam Mephits leave a trail of near boiling water where they walk.
Pores implies they have like a body.
It does, but they don't.
They sort like they could, I guess, because they have this weird like gremlin style shape.
Right, like something's enforcing the shape.
Something's enforcing the shape. Maybe it's like a very like, you know, like a, I don't know, something with pores, like a sheet of paper style canvas for their element to sort of eke out of. I'm not really sure. It's hard to parse this one out. Steam Mephit is a small elemental of neutral evil with an armor class of 10, HP of 21, that's 66, or speed with a speed of 30 feet.
9 meters.
A flying speed of 30 feet.
9 meters.
Minus 3 strength, plus 0 dex, plus 0 con, plus 0 intelligence, plus 0 wisdom, and plus 1 charisma. That's why they think they're the best.
They got a little bit more chaw.
They're a little less strong, too. Damage immunity to fire and poison. Condition immunity to poison with dark vision of 60 feet.
That's 18 meters.
Passive perception of 10. Aquan and Ignan are its languages. It ranks at a quarter challenge rating for 50 XP with a proficiency bonus of 2. Death Burst. When the Mephit dies, it explodes in a cloud of steam. Each creature within 5 feet
1.5 meters.
Of the Mephit must succeed on a DC 10 dexterity saving throw or take 4 or 1d8 fire damage. Innate spellcasting. Once a day, the Mephit can innately cast Blur, requiring no material components. Its innate spellcasting ability is Charisma.
All right, well, you know, disadvantage on hitting them, that automatically boosts their armor class up.
Yeah, quite a bit. Like its low AC is going to be, they're going to blur. It has claws. Melee weapon attack +2 to hit with a reach of 5 feet.
Why does the Steam Mephit have claws, but the Mud Mephit has
fisticuffs?
Yeah.
It's Mud Mephit, it's just throwing hands.
Yeah.
That's 1.5 meters.
Indeed.
One creature is going to hit for 2 or 1d4 slashing damage +2 1d4 fire damage. Steam Breath, so we're going to recharge of 6. The Mephit exhales a 15-foot cone.
It's 4.5 meters.
Of scalding steam. Each creature in that area must succeed on a DC 10 dexterity saving throw, taking 4 or 1d8 fire damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a success.
Very nice. So what do you think of Mephits, Brian?
I think they're one of the most fun mobs in the game.
Agreed.
They're varied, and they explode, and they can touch you with their nasty noses.
They almost all have some... Number one, they all explode. Number two, they almost all have either an AoE damage attack or a condition-inducing attack, AoE attack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're interesting. They're well-made.
I think all those things... They can fly.
They can all fly. Yeah, they can all fly.
Which is just fun.
They all have a spell that's actually useful, whether that's Fog Cloud or Blur or whatever.
Yeah, I like having them being like mindless little... like taskmasters in a dungeon.
Yep.
They're just kind of walking around, and they might not fight you unless you interrupt what they're doing.
Yeah. They're not inherently aggressive.
Yeah, they like look and notice you, but then continue their little tasks.
Yeah,
like a magma Mephit might be cool for like a fire giant lair, moving little buckets of magma around to like help heat the furnace in the Fire Giants, you know, or the Dwarven or whatever, you know.
The grease methods you meet in Baldur's, but I say meet, that you come across in Baldur's Gate 3, they don't auto aggro on you. And you can hear them banter, and that shit is hilarious.
Yeah, see, about stuff so like funny. That.
Yeah.
I mainly have mine silent. That might be like a lack of preparation on my end.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's hard to imaginativeness. Ad lib some banter.
Yeah, like I'd prepare it. I'd prepare like a funny banter joke that would add flavor to the scene of like what these creatures are.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're just little workers, you know? But these little workers are little bastards that explode if you fuck with them. They are hard for a party to handle in a mob because they start exploding and the party's like, yo, what the fuck? Are they all going to do that? And then they start really like thinking about what their next moves are.
Yeah. This is kind only mildly related because of exploding, but the point in my honor mode run of Baldur's Gate 3 so far that I almost actually wiped was a bunch of enemies, they're blights that exploded much like the Mephits do, and then damages the explosions damage their allies as well as my characters. I killed one and it set off a chain reaction of blow up, blow up, blow up, blow up. And that could very well happen with Mephits too if they're clustered together.
You could
do a chain reaction.
It's all explosion. Creatures.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, that could, like, fight's over, but only one of you is left conscious and the other three are, like, failing death-saving throws and stuff. Like, that could be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so. That's big. Yeah, this can be problematic, but you'll learn a lot from your first encounter with the group of these, for sure. I would probably throw one down or a couple, like, a small mob down first, and then, like, they might summon another mob if they fuck up, you know?
Right.
And now they have to deal with it. Yeah, very cool stuff. I like adding elemental things to my games.
Yeah, like, me too. I like elemental. I'm about to do just a full elemental-themed improv campaign coming up here pretty soon, so I'm excited.
Why not?
You're
doing all this research for this chouse, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. With that being said, I think we can get ready for a long rest.
We should.
Let's do it.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Long Rest. We have a new line of products coming out in the Slippy department. They are, you know, each elemental, and they've got method faces on them. But if you like throat, you know, sometimes you take your shoes off, you're carrying them, and you just sort of like toss them to the corner or whatever.
Yeah.
These ones will explode if you do
that. Yeah, so you can't do that.
You can't do that.
No.
You can't do that. Or if you kick somebody, or if you like, you know, Chonkla style, like throw one, like and that they will explode on your opposition.
But if you're throwing a Chonkla style, that's probably what you want.
That's probably what you want. You want ops to feel that explosion. So, yeah. So get your Mephit slippies in the ether. They're not real. This is a joke. Although I wish we could put out D&D style slippers. That would be sick.
Yeah.
But then we'd have to
copyright slam.
Well, we would have to work with the demon Hasbro.
The true demon lord.
The true demon lords.
Hasbro.
Hasbro.
The demon lord of greed.
Hasbro backwards is Satan. Damn it. It's Asmodeus the whole time.
Hasbro. So it would be
Hasmodeus.
Asmodeus. You see, Hasbro, that's Orbsaw.
Orbsaw,
the demon lord of greed.
It would be a devil. It would be a devil lord.
I guess so. Yeah, probably because it's an organized corporation. Although they're running it so chaotically, who's to say?
It's a devil and a demon running it together.
Oh God!
And then there's
working in tandem.
There's all these wizards riding constantly. And they're like, please, Hasbro. Hasbro now. Sorry, Hasbro. Sorry.
What is this show?
I'm riding as fast as I can. It's not enough. You're laid off.
All of you.
Fucking Hasbro.
All 1,100 of you.
I won't make you slippers, Hasbro. I will just float ideas about cool products out there, though.
And we will also announce our own merchandise bundle giveaway.
Yes, that's what we're doing. We have a contest.
Indeed.
Rolling.
And the prize for said contest is a TDC shirt, a TDC hoodie, a TDC baseball cap, and three TDC stickers, all featuring different years of the Year of the Dragon, Year of the Giant. Oh, there you're going to give me another woo. And Year of the Fiend.
Woo!
In order to enter the contest, you need to guess the number of dice that are inside the gigantic jar that will be somewhere on the camera in the episode.
Yeah, in a special video. We are going to make it separate from... We usually don't make things that way, but we're going to do... In between episodes, we're going to record a video with the jar exclusively on display.
Indeed.
That'll play at the top of this episode on YouTube, and you can also find an image of the jar on social media.
Indeed.
We can give you the dimensions of the jar, I guess, when we do the post.
I guess.
I don't know. It's like 8 inches tall or 9 inches tall or something like that.
The closest guess without going over will win the prize. A tie will be broken by guessing which color specifically inside the jar has the most dice. A further tie is broken by who guesses the closest amount of said color die. Does that make sense?
Price is Right rules. Don't go over the amount. Indeed. If you go over, you lose.
Indeed.
So, it'll be smart for somebody to guess one, I guess. I think that works better in small batch competition, like where there's only a couple people, because then you can bridge the gap from one to the lowest number. Those are all your numbers. But when you're going to have, like, I imagine hundreds, maybe thousands of people participating in this competition, that strat might not work so great. But you can enter multiple times.
You can enter by including a comment with the following guesses, the number of die, the color of majority, and the number of said color in the comment section of each video running from now until March 31st, which is when we will be announcing the winner of the contest. Oh, no, sorry. March 1st, not March 31st. March 1st, we will be announcing the winner. So any video between now, what you're listening now, and the episodes that drop before March 1st, you can leave a comment with the three following guesses.
Yeah, go to YouTube. You must be subscribed to the channel and have the like button hit on that.
Indeed.
And then on the social media posts as well, they can
enter? Yes, on the social media posts as well, of which there will probably be one a week. You can leave, the same following guesses. The number of die in the jar, the color of majority, and the number of said color.
Yeah, so... Like an example would be like, there's 312 dice in there.
Mm-hmm.
I think the majority is green. Yeah.
Yeah. Or whatever. And I think there are 84 green.
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Sick. So keep an eye out for that stuff. All that merch sounds super cool. We're going to have, we've got some new merch stuff in the works. That's going to be lots of fun. When it's ready, we'll announce that. Also, check out the new tier on Patreon. It's the tier in space. Which I'm liking more and more as I continue to say it. And then tier in space, semicolon, the tier of Ilion and Beern. The Ilion and Beern tier. We are on the social medias.
Indeed, we are. You can find us on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. Mastodon, we're on Discord. We're on Threads. Links are all in the description. Check it out.
Yep. We do have our own merch store. We have a P.O. box, an email address. Feel free to hit us up and or send us a postcard. And then, man. What else is that it?
I think that's it for
I think that's it. Yeah. Check out Draken Star.
Oh, yeah. I'm writing a book. Trying to get it done by this summer. It's a source book. Set in the world of, or I should say universe of Draken Star, which is the universe in which we played our life play D&D space campaign.
Yep. So, Super Quest Saga.
Yeah. Gonna have custom species, we'll have custom species, but it'll have 11 new species plus a custom species builder. It will have 13 new subclass options, a plethora of new magic items and high-tech devices. It's going to have vehicles. It's going to have spaceships. It's going to have rules for spaceships and space combat. It's going to have 120 plus alien monsters and a whole map of the galaxy and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah. while you're on our YouTube channel, check out our new video. What was the title? The Tale of Zariel?
The Tale of Zariel, The Fallen.
Yeah. Will did a great job writing that shit and getting it up there. And we are, people responded well. So we want to make more of those. Mm-hmm. In the future. So yeah, go check that out. It's really cool. It's a story about like we've covered Zariel here.
Indeed.
It's like the
dramatic, epic, dramatic, immersive telling of the tale while working in the various themes on which these stories touch on in Dungeons & Dragons.
It's Will's Story Corner embodied. Go check it out. There's also Is there another thing going on? F-Bats.
Unhallowed still in the works.
Yeah, we're still writing. We're doing that. That should start airing on Patreon pretty soon, finally. Let's see. It'll eventually become public. Mm-hmm. And yeah, let's call it a game.
Let's call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.